I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at His right hand stands one who is my Savior. I take Him at His word and Christ died to save me this time. And in my heart I find a need of Him to be my Savior. That He would leave His place on high and come for sinful man to die. You count it strange, so once did I.
Thank you, choir. Isn't it great to have a Savior who lives, right? Amen. And a Savior who loves, and He's Amen. Always going to be that way. Well, welcome. It's good to see you this morning. Good morning, 12th Street. All right. Well, hopefully you had a great Thanksgiving time, and hopefully it's not just a Thanksgiving time, but you live a constant life of Thanksgiving. But it is good to stop and see family and then to express that gratitude towards God. And I'm glad you're here this morning. This morning, the message is all about why we're thankful people, okay? And if you walk away and you go, I don't know why I should be thankful, then we're going to get you hearing aids for next week, okay? And also, starting next Sunday, is all about why we celebrate Christmas. And then December 10th is Awkward Family Photo Christmas, okay? There are going to be some fun things in there, and I'm really looking forward to the message that Sunday as well. The 17th is our children's program, and with the children's program, following that, we are having a White Elephant Christmas as a church, and it's going to be a lot of fun, but it's also going to be very challenging as I've prepared for that message. God has really challenged my heart. And then on Christmas Eve is a Sunday this year, that morning we will do a glow-in-the-dark Christmas, and there are a lot of fun things we have planned for that. Also, hopefully, again, you'll be challenged, so hopefully you're geared up for this season of the year where we remember that Christ came to earth. We have a lot of announcements to go through. So first of all, we have a special Christmas project this Sunday and next Sunday. If you would like to participate in this special Christmas project, you can just mark it on your envelope, your regular tithe, and then if you would like to help. Now, the special Christmas project, there's a couple families in our church that have some immediate and serious needs. And oftentimes, we've done things for people in the community. And this year, we can focus in on some people in our church that have some really big needs. And so if you would like to help with that, just mark that. And here's what could happen. Yeah, we have over 100 giving families in our church, okay? If every family gave at least $5 toward this, then we could really do some good. If every family could do $20, we could really do some good and help. And so I want to encourage you to pray about that. And if you can't do anything today, then next Sunday, think about what you can do to be part of this special Christmas project. Ladies, on December 4th, you have an ornament exchange dinner at Olive Garden, and if you would like to be part of that, please keep your exchange to an under $10 item, and there's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. If you would like to participate with that, they do need to make reservations for everyone that's participating in that. There's also a ladies' Bible study that takes place on Tuesdays here at the church at 1 p.m., and so ladies, I'd like to encourage you, if you're not already involved with that, come on out and be involved with that. Men, we are starting an Act Like a Man challenge. It is a 40-day challenge, and any man, this is for men 17 and older, and it will begin on January 13th at 10 p.m., okay? This will be an extraordinary challenge to you. I will need to know who is participating because we have books that we are purchasing, and the title of the book is Act Like a Man. And it's a 40-day challenge. There's a lot of things that we're going to give challenges on our church's end. And then the book has a lot of challenges in it. And it'll be really good for every single one of you. So men, mark that down for January 13th at 10 p.m. To be ready to be part of this Act Like a Man challenge. Operation Good Cheer is we're delivering gifts to some children who are either orphaned or their parents are not able to take care of them. And so the deliver of these, we need to deliver 12 to 12 families. Right now we have 11 signed up for. And so if you want to be able to take part in that, then the sign-up sheets at the Welcome Center, get signed up because that will be taking place in the next couple weeks. Upward basketball, we start that up in 2 weeks with evaluations. If you can help with that, see Kevin. Kevin is the guy in the cage back there. And then, or you can see Mike Kaler as well if you could help with the registration days. And if you would like to help sponsor a child for that, you can see Kevin or Mike Kaler or Cheryl in the office. On December 5th, that's in 2 weeks, is our the dinner for Bethany Christian Services. This is not a sit-down dinner, okay? The servers for this dinner, it is a pizza dinner, And you say, you know, last time we did something with that, we noticed that a lot of the families, they looked like they were fine, that they didn't need help. Well, here's the situation. These are orphaned children or children that have been taken from their parents. And there's a family there that's just filling in the gap. Sometimes they're in the process of adoption. Many times they're not. They're just filling in the gap for these kids. And so at this dinner, clothes are going to be given away. Stockings, stuffers are given to the kids, and they get a pizza dinner. There's face painting and all sorts of fun things. So when you see them come in and you might think, oh, well, they don't look like they need help. You don't know their backstory, and you don't know that there's a family that may be doing really well that's volunteered to take them in. But I would encourage you to get involved and help us out on December 5th as we host that. We're doing a couple really neat things. They wanted to have a Santa. And I want to present the gospel, and they're good with us presenting the gospel. They want us to. So Santa, after he talks to a few of the kids, is going to take those kids over to the manger. And he's going to bow down and tell the kids, I'm just window dressing here. Here's the real reason for Christmas. And he's going to bow down and pray at the manger. And he's going to do that periodically through the night. And I think that'll be a really powerful message to the kids that Christmas is not about Santa. It is about Jesus coming to earth. There's quite a few more announcements there. Make sure that you read those. There is no men's basketball this Tuesday because the hoops are not up. So it'll be really hard to play because we don't have any hoops up. And January 14th, this is not in your bulletin. Mark this. January 14th, we have a man named Craig Tornquist. He is a comedian. And he's doing a family game night with us here at the church that Sunday night. It starts at 5 with a dinner, and then at 5:30, he'll begin his shenanigans, and the whole night will conclude at 7:30, okay? So it'll go from 5 to 7:30 that night. Whole family's invited, and the way we're doing this, Rachel and I want to say thank you to all of you in the church, because we have so many volunteers here. We get so much done, and so this is kind of our treat to you. All right, we want you to come out, enjoy it. We're going to provide a main course. If you could bring a side or something, chips, something nice and easy to put on the table. We'll all eat together. Craig will do his thing. We're going to have a lot of fun laughing together as a church family. And so just put that on your calendar, January 14th, Sunday p.m., and we'll have a great, great time together. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you are God of gods, King of kings, Lord of lords, that you are the Savior who died, was buried, and rose again. You are the Savior who lives. And Lord, you give to each one of us an opportunity in life to say yes to you and to live for you. And I pray that as we go through the singing this morning and through the message, that all of our hearts would be so thankful. Because we have a God who is worthy to say thank you to. Because we have a Lord who has given all for us. And so, Lord, we humbly during these moments, during this service, we give back to you through song, through our finances, through our fellowship. But, Lord, we know that the greatest gifts that we can give, they come from hearts that serve you all through the week and all through the month and all through the year. And so, Lord, to you, We just give our highest praise. We give you all the glory because you are our Lord, our Savior. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
Thank you. was like, just stop it. Just turn it off. Turn it off. I'm like, I'm not stopping it.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to open with Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun shining down on me, when the world it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. Darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take. Time to sing your song again.
Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never. Strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still, my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. One day when we can stand before the Lord and worship Him in person. You stood before creation, eternity in Your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame.
my sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what could I say? And what could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I'll walk upon salvation, your Spirit alive in me, this life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what could I say? And what could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely. What could I say? And what could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. Of the one who gave it all. So I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. So I'll say, and what could I do but offer this heart, oh God, completely to you.
Father, what could I say or what could I do? There's nothing that I can give you that you need. Father, we just want to give you praise this morning. It's all we can offer you that we have that's worthy of you. Father, we just pray this morning that as we come into your presence, Father, that we would be prepared for what you have for us this morning. Father, we pray for our pastor. We pray you pour your Spirit out on him. Just forgive us where we failed you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Can we have the ushers come forward, please?
Let's pray. Father, we are thankful to be in your house this morning. We are so thankful for all you do to provide for us, Lord, and to meet our needs as a church. Father, we just ask that you'll just be with this offering, to use it and to bless it. And Father, we just ask that you'll just help us to go out and to reach those in our community and to help others. And we pray this now in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.
I'd like to ask the congregation here if anybody has seen the movie Pollyanna. Couple things come to mind when I think of that movie. One is that the little girl is always thinking of something to be glad about, no matter what happens. And another thing that's very memorable about that movie to me is that there's a fire and brimstone preacher in that movie, if any of you can think of him or picture him. And he really wakes the people up when they come into church. And the one phrase that I remember him saying was, "Death comes unexpectedly." If anybody remembers that, you will now. A couple weeks ago, my sister's husband passed away completely unexpectedly. And that phrase came to mind to me, not the preacher shouting it, but it came to mind, it felt like the Holy Spirit whispering it to me, saying, "Death comes unexpectedly, but he was ready. His heart was ready." He was talking about my brother-in-law. We knew that he was saved, and he lived like it. He was a kind, generous, loving man. And we are very thankful that we're at peace knowing that he's safe with the Lord, that his salvation was sure. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, it talks about how we should give ourselves, our bodies, as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, for this is our spiritual service of worship. And that, you know, when I was a kid growing up in the Catholic Church, the word worship wasn't associated with music. Like you all, most of you probably, when you think of worship, you're thinking about the singing before the service. I didn't understand that. Is Jim here? When we were growing up in the Catholic Church, that word worship just had to do with praising God. We didn't think of it as in song. But Paul calls us in the book of Romans to let our worship be our walk with the Lord, the way that we live, the way that we treat people, strangers, everybody that we see. And that's what this song is about. Sometimes I think, what will people say of me when I'm only just a memory, when I'm home where my soul belongs? Was I love when no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of us? Was my worship more than just a song? I want to live like that and give it all I have, so that everything I say and do points to you. If love is who I am, then this is where I'll stand, recklessly abandoned, never holding back. Am I proof that you are who you say you are? That grace can really change a heart? do I live like your love is true. People pass, and even though they don't know my name, is there evidence that I've been changed? They see me, do they see you? I wanna live like that and give it all I have, so that everything I say and do points to you. If love is who I am, then this is where I'll stand. Recklessly abandoned, never holding back. I want to live like that. I want to live like that. I want to show the world the love you gave for me. I'm longing for the world to know the glory of the King. I want to live like that and give it all I have, so that everything I say and do points to you. If love is who I am, then this is where I'll stand. Recklessly abandoned, never holding back. I wanna live like that. I wanna live like that. I wanna live like that.
Thank you for that song. That's what a great reminder. That's how we should live our lives, right? Yes. So we don't just say Thanksgiving to God on one Thursday a year. We live Thanksgiving to God. Just like worship isn't, we don't come to church and worship. We worship all the time. We just have an opportunity to worship together on Sundays. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss our children to children's church. And let's take our Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. When I was in kindergarten, my dad was still playing college football. He started playing college football a little late. And I got to go to practices and watch him practice and watch him play. And one night after practice, he was still in the locker room, and he told me to just go hang out, and I was hanging out in the stairway next to the gym, and the stairway went down, down 6-7 feet, and I decided that I was bored, so I got on the railing with my legs, and I threw myself backward to hang on my legs over the railing. Little did I know there was another bar underneath right at the same level my head was. So when I came down, I hit it, and then I fell the 7 feet onto concrete. When my dad came out of the locker room, he saw me laying on the ground in a pool of blood, and he grabbed me and took me up in his arms and ran me to the hospital. And I've got some scars on the back of my head to remember not to hang on railings unless you know what's beneath you. And then in second grade, I was trying to impress a girl. For some reason, we were doing class outside. I grew up in California, so you know we would do that from time to time because the weather was nice enough. And so we were out under a tree, and we were doing some reading. And for some reason, I had a pop can in my hand. Probably wasn't supposed to, but I did. And I looked at the girl sitting next to me, and I said, I bet you I can rip this can in half with my hands. And she's like, no, you can't. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I can. I ripped it in half, and I sliced my finger right open. And so I remember my dad had to pick me up and take me to the hospital and get some stitches. And then in sixth grade, my dad was, he was refereeing a shot put event in the track competition, and it was the high school that was doing it, and they were throwing 16-pounders for warm-ups. And I looked at my brother, and I said, I bet I can catch one of those. And he's like, no, you can't. And I'm like, oh, I bet I can. So I ran out there when one of the guys threw it, and I tried to catch it, and it split my finger open from here to here. And so my dad didn't get to referee that day. He had to run me to the hospital and get some stitches. I was working out in the weight room as a sixth grader, and I was doing some military presses where you sit on a bench and you go up and down like this. And I had about 90 pounds, just, the bar is 45 pounds and just a little bit more weight on. And then these senior girls were walking by, and I thought, I want to impress these senior girls. So I put 45s on each end. So now I'm doing 135 pounds, and I didn't even barely weigh 135 pounds as a freshman. And I got up here, and I couldn't handle the weight, and I fell back. I fell off the bench onto the ground, and the bar landed on my head. The last thing I remembered was the weightlifting coach, Mr. Bender. I remember him saying, I can see his skull. Cool. And I was out. And so I got some stitches. I look like Frankenstein in my sixth grade picture from right here. You know, I have scars on my body because of my foolishness. And every once in a while, I'll look in the mirror and I'll be like, oh my goodness. Or I'll see my hand, I'll be like, my goodness. I did something foolish that created that scar. Because scars can be learning lessons. They can help us. Well, let's look at the scene in heaven. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6, John is writing here, and I don't have time to go into everything about it, but there's a scene in heaven, and it is the most spectacular scene to take place in heaven up to that point in history in the world, okay? And I believe we're still waiting for this scene to take place in heaven. But in Revelation 5, verse 6, it says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain. Well, what does this description mean, that I saw a lamb as it had been slain? He's describing Jesus. Jesus stands, and when he is seen by heaven, heaven sees his scars. Heaven sees the marks of his death. They see the prints in his hands. They see the hole in his side. They see that he had been disfigured and beaten. And as he stands in heaven at that moment, he is the Lamb. And he has all the marks of his death to remind heaven that the Lamb and his sacrifice of his blood was the only way that anyone could gain entrance into heaven. This scene in heaven is very different from chapter 1. Go to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13. This is another description of Jesus. And in Revelation 1, verse 13, it says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the breast with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. Now this description of Jesus is a mighty warrior dressed for battle. Very different than a lamb. And in this description of Jesus, we see him ready to take on the foe and bring in everlasting righteousness. What a difference in description between the warrior dressed for battle and the lamb. In Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6, this is Isaiah writing, but he's speaking on behalf of the not yet come the first time Jesus. And here's what he says. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to those who plucked off the hair, and I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. You see, here's how Jesus came. He came to earth to be the Lamb. He could have come as the mighty warrior the first time, but if he had come as the mighty warrior the first time, then there would be no sacrifice for your sin and for mine. And so what he did is he came the first time as a lamb. And he gave himself to be beaten so that they pulled out his beard. They spit on him. They beat him. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. He was beaten and bludgeoned and bloodied so that you and I could be healed spiritually. So that we could be saved from the wrath of God and experience peace with God. In Matthew 26 and verse 67, it says, then they did spit in his face, and they beat him, and others hit him with the palms of their hands, and they spit on him, and took the reed and smote him on the head. I mean, think about what Jesus did in being the Lamb for us. He's the one who had the power to come as the mighty warrior, to come and just conquer sin by destroying the sinners. But that was never God's intent. Before the foundation of the world, before God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God's intent was for there to be a Lamb who would die for our sins. Jesus is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And after Jesus was beaten, he died a literal death, a real death. What's the difference between a fake death and a real death? Well, a fake death is your heart stops beating and they're able to get the monitors to pick up a heartbeat later on. A fake death would be where your body gives out, but your soul is still inside your body. A real death is when your soul leaves your body. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's physical death. So what happened to Jesus? He really died, and his soul went to the heart of the earth. Not to burn in hell. The Holy One never suffered corruption. He never experienced the flame of hell because that was not his to experience. He suffered in dying for our sins. And he went to the heart of the earth, the paradise which Jesus preached about when he talked about the rich man and Lazarus. The story where the rich man dies and he lifts up his hells in the flames of hell in torments. Where Lazarus dies, and he lifts up his eyes, and he is in Abraham's bosom. The two are able to talk to each other. The rich man cries for Lazarus to put a little bit of water on his finger and to dip it on his tongue. But he can't do that. There's a gulf between the two. So when Jesus died, he went to paradise. And what did he do? The Bible tells us that he preached to the spirits that were held in prison in captivity. Those souls of those who did not believe in the promised Messiah. And he preached to them. What did he preach? His sacrifice. And for 3 days and three nights, Jesus' soul was separated from his body. He was really dead. And then, the first day of the week, Sunday morning, on the third day, Jesus came back to life. When he came back to life, there was an extraordinary difference in how he looked before his crucifixion and after. We always think about when somebody dies and then they go to heaven and then they come back, or we don't really think of them coming back. We think of when you die and you go to heaven, everything gets made new and you no more scars. Because you know, this body that I have, you know, the scar here on my index finger and on my middle finger there, and the one that's right here, and the other one on my nose from when I was being stupid playing baseball, and all these scars that I have, when I get my new body in heaven, I won't have scars. I don't need to remember my foolishness. But Jesus, he is the Lamb who has been slain. And he wears his scars in heaven as a great reminder of why we will be there. So when Jesus is raised from the dead, in John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Joanna, and many other women, they all went to the tomb to see Jesus, to anoint his body with spices, to make sure, because they didn't have much time before they had to put him in the grave. They wanted to make sure now that the Sabbath was over, that they could properly have his body prepared for death. When they arrive, they're met by angels. The stone is rolled away, and Jesus' body is not there. And so the women start, they're told by the angel, go and tell the disciples what you've seen. And so they run to go tell the disciples. But Mary Magdalene, she hangs back. And as she hangs back in John chapter 20 and verse 14, it says, and when she had said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. I mean, this is Mary who had demons in her. And Jesus had cast out those demons. This is Mary who lived close to Jesus, followed him. She knew who Jesus was. She knew what he looked like. But now after he rose again from the dead, she doesn't recognize him. Let's keep reading here. In John chapter 20, verse 15, it says, Jesus says to her, woman, why are you weeping? Who do you seek? She thought that he was the gardener and said to him, sir, if you have taken him from here, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and says to him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus says to her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. So Mary stayed around and she got to see Jesus. The rest of them, they're on their way to tell the disciples that Jesus is risen from the dead. She wanted to embrace Jesus when she recognized him. And he said, no, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. Go and tell them I'm going to see my Father. So Mary takes off to tell the rest of the disciples. In Matthew 28, it gives us a little bit more of the details of this story. We have Mary, the mother of James, Joanna, and many other women who are there at the tomb. The angel says, he's not here, he's risen. Matthew 28, verse 8, it says, they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and they did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now, they're running from the tomb to go see the disciples. They're allowed to grab Jesus when they see him. So what happened in the time that they left and Mary stayed behind, where Jesus said, don't touch me, and the time where now he meets them, they're still on their way to see the disciples, and they're allowed to embrace him. Here's what Jesus did. He went before his Father. And when he went before his Father, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. From the time that Jesus saw Mary and said, "Don't touch me," to the time where he meets the others who were running to tell the disciples that Jesus had risen from the dead, he went and he stood before his Father. Really cool thing about Jesus, he is the sacrifice for our salvation. He is the lamb that was slain. And when he rose from the dead, he needed to appear before his Father just one time. And how did he make this, the presentation? He showed his Father the marks of his death. He was the lamb having been slain. In Revelation 12:11, it says, they overcame him, that him there is the devil, by the blood of the lamb and by the word of their testimony. You see, it's the blood of the lamb that allows us to have a testimony in Jesus Christ that gives us eternal life in heaven. So let me just give you a couple interesting little facts about the book of Revelation as it describes Jesus. It describes Jesus as the Son, S-O-N, okay, three times. Two times as the Son of Man, one time as the Son of God. It will call him Jesus 12 times. The Lion, one time. The Lord, 23 times. Alpha and Omega, four times. But you know what the most often used description of Jesus in the book of Revelation? It's the Lamb, 27 times. He's the Lamb. Why is it so important for Jesus at the end of all things to be understood as the Lamb? Because from the very beginning, he was the Lamb. Yes, Jesus is much more than just a sacrifice. He is also God the all-powerful. He is also God the Almighty. He was, and he is to come. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is all of those things. He is the mighty warrior who is dressed for battle. But you know how we need to know him first? We need to know him as the Lamb who was slain for our sins. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. In the book of Zechariah, he sees a vision of the end. He sees right before Jesus ushers in a physical reign on earth for 1,000 years called the millennium. And here's what Zechariah records in Zechariah 13:6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in your hands? And then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. As Jesus is ready to usher in his 1,000-year reign here on earth, there will be someone who sees the marks in his hands. Why is he still carrying those? He can look like the mighty warrior dressed for battle. He can take on the form of the lion. He can take on the king, the almighty. But he chooses to continue to carry the marks of his death. Because even in the millennial time, he wants them to know that it's not the blood of bulls and goats and calves and sheep, but it's by his own precious blood that we are saved. And in Hebrews 10 and verses 17 through 20, it says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. In Hebrews there, as it tells us that we have the opportunity to boldly approach the Holy of Holies, to go right before God the Almighty without anyone in between, because Jesus is the mediator and he gives us direct access to the Father. And so as we spend time and we say thank you to God, we're not saying thank you and it's passing through, you know, levels of angels who pass on the thanks to God. We don't say thank you to through a priest or through a pastor or through a prophet who carries it on and passes it on to God. We go boldly before God and we say to him, thank you. And we show worth to who he is. That is worship. And it says we do this by a new and living way. So my question to you, are you living in the new and living way? Say, I don't understand. What is the new and living way? The new way is that you don't have to go through Mary, through the church, through anything. You go directly to God himself. That is the new way. You don't have to go to a priest to offer a sacrifice for you. You don't have to pay for your sins to be forgiven, because the new and living way is that Jesus paid it all. And you are forgiven because of him, not because of you. The new and living way, it says that you have complete direct access. Last week, we talked about how we pray when we pray with thanksgiving. Our prayers with thanksgiving are expecting that God will do what is best. And you know what? When we directly access God boldly before the throne, that is the living way. There's no better way to live than to understand that all of my actions, all of my thoughts, everything is fully displayed before my Lord. The veil that stood between man and God was torn away in the flesh of Jesus Christ. He removed our separation. And we live in a new and living way because we are given complete access to the throne of grace. And so I want to close with this verse, Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've heard of what he has done for you this morning. And what he does is he gives you a gift. It's the gift of faith. It's the gift of Jesus Christ. And this morning, he just wants you to receive the gift. How do you receive such a great gift? The scriptures tell us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not just the name of Jesus, although the name of Jesus is the name by which we are saved, not just the name of the Lamb, because the Lamb is the sacrifice, but we call upon the name of the Lord because we understand we live a life before him, and when we trust him as our Savior, we're not just saying, I want to add you into my already life. We're saying, God, I give you my life. It is yours. And when we call upon the name of the Lord, we're acknowledging our surrender that is complete to him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, I pray right now that if any have never trusted you, I ask you, Lord, to do your wonderful work. I pray that your spirit would convict, that it would encourage, that it would call. And Lord, that this morning, if anyone doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they would come to that faith in Jesus Christ where they can call him Lord. And I pray, Lord, for those who have already trusted you as their Lord and Savior. I thank you, Lord, for that. I pray that through the reminders we've been given this morning, that you will carry your scars with you in heaven, because you are the Lamb who has been slain. I pray, Lord, we would never forget what you have done. Help us to live a life that is part of the new and living way, directly before God our Father, hindered by nothing but our own self that decides to not live for you. And Lord, help us to enter boldly into your courts with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Bless us as we close out this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, as we sing this last song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, I'm going to be standing here at the front. I would love to talk to you about trusting Christ as your Savior. Don't leave today without trusting him. And if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, then this song should mean so much to you, especially after reflecting on what our Lord has done. So let's stand together and sing this out to the Lord.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine within thousand beside. Great
And that faithfulness, it is forever. Amen. Lord, we just lift our hearts to you, the awesome God. To you, all honor, glory, praise. Every heartbeat that cries out a good thing in our lives, Lord, to you it's offered. Because you have created all things, and for your glory they are and were created. So now to you, the honor and glory, world without end, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Serve him this week.